Welcome to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Chris Schaefer, and I'm here to talk to you about Google Ads. I have three sections to go through today. We're going to talk about the metric of the week. Then we'll get into a question from a listener, and then finally we'll end up with the topical discussion. The topical discussion, it's not a secret. I put it right in the title, my five most controversial opinions about Google Ads. Now, not opinions about everything, but just opinions about Google Ads. That's what you want to hear about, and that's what I'm going to talk about. Okay, I want to start off with the metric of the week. We're talking about low search volume. That's the metric of the week. And before I get into that, I want to tell you about my favorite tool, Opteo.com. That's Opteo.com/PSP for you to get a free trial, a 2-month free trial of my favorite tool. They are the sponsors of this podcast and have been for a very long time. They have changed many people's lives because they have provided excellent oversight. It's an oversight tool. It's a management tool. It's a time savings tool for Google Ads managers. If you're managing 1, 15, 100 campaigns, you have an agency, you're just a guy that's managing leads for his business, this tool is for you. It scales to your purpose, and it provides critically important details about what you're possibly missing in Google Ads, from keywords to ad copy to bidding strategies to changes on competitors, CTR, impression volume, everything. It keeps an eye and offers advice on what you can do to get more out of your Google Ads campaign. You can take advantage of the special offer at opteo.com/PSP. Use the chat box in the bottom of the screen to tell them that Chris sent you. Okay, let's jump in with metric of the week. Metric of the week is about low search volume. Low search volume is a status that you're going to see on keywords. So you're going along and you come across a set of search results, searches, search terms, you're searching in Google yourself, and suddenly you come up with an idea for a new keyword. You go to Google, you add the keyword into Google, your Google Ads campaign, and you hit save, and this little status pops up. It says low search volume. Well, what does that mean? What that means is the keyword is temporarily suspended. We're going to get into what that means in a second, but it's technically temporarily suspended because it's associated with very little search traffic on Google. So basically Google's saying, hey, we see your keyword, but this keyword is so specific. This keyword represents such a small segment of traffic on Google that we're not actually going to show this. This keyword is not technically active. It is suspended. Not suspended as in the bad thing you never want on Google, right? You don't ever want to be suspended on Google, but this is the suspension of an active keyword. So how do you deal with this? Is this bad? What if you have 100 low search volume keywords in your account? How do you deal with them? Should you deal with them? Does it even matter? Well, it does matter for a couple reasons. First of all, it could possibly affect overall account quality score. I know that there is not a documented account quality score. There are only quality scores that are visible at the keyword level. But there is a theoretical quality score that can affect an account. Google's not going to show us this. There's not technically one, but I firmly believe that there is something there. It's a trust factor, if you want to call it that, when it comes to certain accounts. And I make it a habit of usually trying to remove these low search volume keywords and avoid having them in bulk on an account because it can be pretty overwhelming over time to have more and more of these come up, and it might affect the performance. And really, it's no harm to my campaign to just go ahead and delete them because they're not getting any traffic volume. That's why they're low search volume. So most of the time I just delete them. Now, if you do want to try and get them some traffic, want to test the keyword, the next thing you could possibly do is you could change them from either phrase or exact to broad. Now, the reason I suggest doing something like this is because often low search volume keywords represent a very small amount of traffic, so small that Google's not even going to recognize that this keyword is even alive, even running, even active. So there's not usually a whole lot of danger in changing a keyword to broad if it is low search volume, because it still, even as a broad keyword, may not get any traffic at all, or it might get very little. So there's not a whole lot of risk to change that keyword. So that might be an option for you. Okay, but let me take you further, and as I like to do on this show, let's get into the reason behind why you added a keyword that is low search volume. Let's question, how did that get in there? What was your frame of mind? Because Google is telling you, technically their documentation says, it's not very relevant to most customers' searches. That's why it's labeled very little search traffic on Google. It's not relevant. It's not triggering anything. So how did you come across that keyword? What brought you to that point? And the whole point of instruction that I want to bring to your attention here is that if you have an issue with a ton of low search volume keywords, you're probably breaking the number one rule, at least my number one rule in Google Ads, for choosing keywords, building ad groups, building campaigns. And that is, every ad group should have a purpose, a theme, a topic, a focus, either on the value or the type of traffic that you want to bring in. If your ad group is not focused on that, and you just randomly will choose keywords, you might be having a lot of this low search volume issue because you're breaking the rule of, well, what's the point of this ad group? And if you're just randomly choosing and throwing in keywords, you might keep breaking that because you're coming up with random ideas, off-the-wall ideas that are just, hey, what about this keyword? Hey, what about this keyword? That is not the appropriate way to add keywords or come up with keywords in a Google Ads account. And let me go through it. This is the process. Number one, you define what the topic of the ad group is. The ad group is what houses those keywords. And then, once you have determined what the topic, what the type, what the value of that ad group is, you then frame keywords around that. So, for example, let's say the company that we're building is a tree trimming type of company. And you might have one ad group about, I mean, this is a bit far reaching. I don't suggest you do this, but let's say you really need some traffic and you're really trying to get volume here. So you have an ad group that is a different value than another ad group. This ad group has very low value, high volume. So you choose topic of how to trim tree branches, something like that. This is an informational. This is a research. This is a DIY kind of thing. It's obviously, it's very low value, but high volume. You want to bring people to your website that are trying to do it on their own, and you might have a great price, or you just really need the phone calls you need to get out there. So that's an example of an ad group that has very high volume, low value, but you've defined what the topic of that ad group is. Now, you might have another one that is a type and you might have something about stump grinding services. That's a very specific type of ad group. And then you choose the keywords that fit in there. You'll notice if you adhere to this rule, you won't find yourself just coming up with random ideas and throwing them in, because the first thing you'll do is you will try and figure out everything that fits within that type or topic for the ad group. And you say, Chris, why? Why does that even matter? Why can't I just, you know, be looser with my ad groups? Well, the reason is, in the definition of low search volume, Google wants relevance. They want relevance between the keyword and the ad copy. They want relevance between the keyword, the ad copy, and the landing page. They want you to adhere to their number one rule of relevance. And if you break the rule of going outside the bounds of an ad group and getting into random topics that pop into your head, and you're adding hundreds of keywords to ad groups, you have broken this rule, and therefore you are breaking Google's rule, which you should care about. That's important. They're the ones that you should be modeling your campaign build after, is what does Google want me to achieve? How can I make Google happy and adhere and then be rewarded with quality score, better click-through rates, better CPCs, better results? Okay, so that is low search volume. I hope it doesn't plague you too much, but if it does, hopefully that's going to help you to fix it and to avoid falling into that trap in the future. So now we're moving on to section two. Section two, we have a question from Eric. If you would like to join Eric in my inbox, you can go to paidsearchpodcast.com and use the email address there. It's also available just by typing in paidsearchpodcast@gmail.com. You can email me directly there, but if you want the spelling, you can go to the website. I am going to read the question from Eric. He says, Chris, first of all, thanks for the podcast. It is great. You are answering all the questions I have, and it's helping me tremendously. Please don't ever stop doing this show. Well, thank you, Eric. There have been points when this show appeared like it was going to stop, but I rescued it, and I'm glad I did. I enjoy doing it. I'm glad you guys enjoy listening to it. Eric's question is, I am a service-based business, specifically a realtor, is what he says. And he asks, should my ad copy be written to advertise my service in general, or should it be worded to draw people to get my free offer lead magnet, which is a PDF guide? Thanks, Eric. Eric, I chose your question specifically because it follows the same theme that I had talked about in section number one, metric of the week. Eric, it sounds like you are breaking the rule that I just described. If you're wondering what the message of your ad copy should be, then you might be breaking rule number one of building ad groups. And here's why. If you don't know what your call to action should be, then you don't know what your topic of keywords should be. And to get straight to the answer, Eric, the answer is it should be whatever it is that the people are looking for. If you are pointing higher in the sales funnel and you're getting cheaper traffic, people that are just searching for homes near me or something like that, you know, very broad homes in so-and-so city, stuff like that, that might be an appropriate time to use a lead magnet, free offer, PDF guide kind of thing, right? That seems appropriate because high funnel, that's the type. It's a value, very low value, but very high volume ad group. Okay, so that's the appropriate time to use a lead magnet, free offer kind of thing in your ad copy, because it's a very soft, like, hey, I'll help you. I've written something up. I've got a video that you can watch. I've got a free training that you can, you know, get in on, all that kind of stuff. That's very appropriate for high funnel. High volume, you know, hoping to hook someone in and get a soft buy-in on your offer with an email address, a phone number, whatever it is. Now, let's change a bit. Let's say you build an ad group that is focused on something specific like a square foot or number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, price range, or even a specific neighborhood or something like that. This might be something really specific like best realtor in a certain city, something like that. You know, this is not a entry level kind of thing. This is someone who has a very specific goal in mind. And for something like this, a free offer lead magnet is not appropriate. You need to be as relevant as possible. You need to be very specific. If they're asking for a specific realtor that does this in this neighborhood, you say, I am that realtor. I work in that neighborhood. That's what I do. And you have an ad group designed for that. And your ad copy, which is what you asked about, your ad copy should not be just download my free PDF guide. No, no, because why build an ad group that is specifically targeted at those highly specific things and then give them a bland lead magnet PDF download kind of pitch? No, you should pitch them specifically what they're looking for. It will increase your CTR, your click-through rate opportunity. It will make the chances that people click on it and then convert much better if they're looking for A, you say, I am A, and you lead them to a landing page that says A. You don't have keywords that's A, tell them you're B, and lead them to a landing page that says C. You understand the relevance idea. It should be a linear, direct path. Everything should match, apples to apples. So the answer to your question is, yes, you should use both of them, but they're appropriate in the appropriate setting. So very simply, free offer, lead magnet, soft pitch kind of stuff typically is going to be the informational DIY high funnel kind of thing. If you are looking for something highly specific, or they're looking for something very highly specific, your keywords are very low funnel, high quality, well-defined, longer tail kind of keywords, then that's going to be inappropriate for exactly what that person is looking for. Define that and say it in your ad copy. So there you go, Eric. Thank you so much for the question. And I am now speeding through this podcast. I know my podcasts are usually longer, but it's been a heck of a week for me. It's been very busy and I'm a little tired. And so I am speeding through this a little faster. If you guys like the, you know, a little bit shorter podcast, a little more focused, you know, a little tighter rotation time on the topics, let me know. If you like the longer podcast, let me know. I am on Twitter at Paid Search Pod, X as it's now called, at Paid Search Pod. I definitely pay attention to people who tweet me there. I'm not really anywhere else. I am not anywhere else other than paidsearchpodcast.com and Paid Search Pod on Twitter. That is it. So if you find me anywhere else, it's not me. Let's jump in now to the topic of the week. The topical discussion of the week is about my five most controversial opinions on Google Ads. And before I jump into that, of course, I have to tell you about Optio/PSP, because if you're not trying the software, you're missing out. I hear people writing into the show, talking to me at different times, telling me, Chris, you know, thanks so much for the podcast. And of course, we use Optio. It's been amazing. Blows my mind. I hear all kinds of positive things about it. People love that they can try it for 2 months for free. This tool is constantly being updated. It is constantly being changed and molded and become more and more valuable to Google Ads managers. That's the only thing they do. Just like this podcast, if you're listening to this Google Ads podcast, you want help in a specific area, and that's what Opteo does. They work in a specific area, which is why I love it. They're not all things to everyone. They are one thing to Google Ads. They are a wonderful look over your shoulder kind of software. Recommendations that are actually smart recommendations. Recommendations that won't just tell you to spend more money and change to automated bidding. Recommendations that actually point out specific keywords, returns, click-through rates, performance issues. These are important, critical things you need to get some help with, and you can do a free trial. Opteo.com/PSP. All right, so drum roll. We're going to go through my most controversial opinion. Five of them. A few of them you may already be able to guess because I harp on them a lot. But I'm going to talk about why I consider them to be controversial, why I think some people push back against it, and why I still continue to maintain it, and my reasons for it. So let's go through it. Number one most controversial opinion is manual bidding. Manual bidding is something I get pushed back all the time. People aren't familiar with it. People think it's impossible to do. People think that it's old school. You know, it's going to be phased out sometime by Google, or that manual bidding doesn't even exist in Google Ads. It does exist, and a large percentage of my accounts use manual bidding. Now, let me define why people don't think it's a good idea. Most people think that manual bidding is a bad idea because you're not using the algorithm, the new fancy, shiny computer software that's going to bring you wealth and success because you buy into smart bidding. But that is not true. Manual bidding, I say, is a great first place to start. It may not be your end goal, but it's a great place to start. And for many of my clients, it's the place to stay. Many people that I talk to are very happy with manual bidding, and that is because it provides finite control of traffic quality at a precision microscopic level, so that I can tell Google I want this traffic, but not this, but a little bit more of this and a little bit less of this. Push this, don't push this, and I want to test this, but at a very low risk level. Those are things that I cannot precisely do with other bid strategies, at least quite so simply. There are some ways to do it, but it is not nearly as acceptable. Manual bidding, I think, provides a wonderful step one to getting phase one of Google Ads moved into phase two, which is essentially just get qualified traffic and spend your budget. That is the goal of phase one. And manual bidding can get you through that. And that's why I think it's the best bidding strategy out there. And it's not going away. I've been doing Google Ads for 20 years. I've been doing the podcast for 7 or 8 years now. And people tell me all the time, it's going away. No, it's still here. It's still here. I could probably go back to episode 50 where people are talking about it leaving or going away. And, you know, it's still here. I think it will be for a very long time. So that's my thoughts on manual bidding. That's why I think it's important. That's why I understand that it's controversial, because people think it's old. It's, you know, you're holding on to things that are no longer useful. You know, it's not a good way to do things, but that I think is not true. All right, so next we move into controversial topic number two, which is, personally, I believe you should not pay for competitor traffic ever. And what I mean by that is, I don't think you should have competitor campaigns. I don't think you should have competitors showing up in your normal search campaigns. I don't think you should pay for anyone who is searching for a competitor service, software, company, person, nothing. I'm not a fan of it. The reason people think it's controversial, because they think that competitor bidding can be incredibly impactful for your brand. Because if so-and-so is searching for this and they find you, they may say, oh, I didn't know about that. And then somehow sign up and change everything, even though they were just trying to find the website so they can log in and set up their bill pay or whatever for that service. They think suddenly, oh, I'm going to scrap everything and I'm just going to change to this company. I'll tell you what, doesn't happen. And the exceptions of the time that it does happen does not mean that it's viable for you. And I'm pretty confident on this after years and years of trying it. I mean, I literally can think of one account that it worked on pretty well on a consistent basis. And that was really it. Of all the other times I tried it, it's never been successful. And people say, well, you know, it's still viable because it's good to be out there and show up. I can't get traffic if I don't show up on competitor names. That's not true. That's not true because you haven't really taken the opportunity to block all that other stuff and try and get traffic exclusively around people who have an interest in a company, not a specific company. Okay. So moving on to number three. Number three, no brand campaign. I do not believe in brand campaigns. I try and avoid running brand campaigns most of the time. And by brand campaign, I mean spending money on someone who is searching for your product, your company name, your name, something like that. Spending money on people who are looking you up, your company, whatever. I definitely say most of the time, because sometimes it's not avoidable. Some people approach me and say, hey, we're launching a new so-and-so, and I, you know, we're breaking off from this other company, and I need to make sure when people search for this, they find me because I've moved businesses or something. I've done stuff like that. I understand. That's why I say most of the time. Most of the time, it is useless, worthless, and actually causes massive problems in the account. People say that it's important. Why this is controversial is because they think that you are losing opportunity. You're losing sales if you don't always show up first. And I'll tell you this. I work with e-commerce companies. I work with sales companies. And they all think that if I don't show up, they're going to go to my competitor. Well, sir, ma'am, I told you what I thought about competitor traffic in controversial topic number two. I do not think that people make the leap in any significant percentage. And I do not think it happens in the inverse. I don't think people that can't find you just give up, click on a competitor ad or listing, and then just sign up with that person. Believe people when they do a search on Google. If they search for your business name, they're probably really trying to find your business, and they're not going to give up until they do. They might click three other ads and waste your competitor's money, but they'll end up on your page. Most of the time, these people are already engaged with your company. They're just trying to figure out when their appointment was, or how they can change their appointment, or you know what their last invoice was, a question about their invoice, something like that. I mean, that is the vast amount of reason for something like that. They're already engaged. They're already a part of your company. Why are you paying to protect, if you can't see me, air quotes, protect yourself from those competitors that are stealing your traffic? I don't believe it. I'm not a fan of it, and most of the time, I completely push against it. All right, here's one I probably have not made super clear before. Topical discussion, point number four, no ad testing. This is my fourth most controversial opinion about Google Ads. I do not do ad testing to any significant degree. Now, this is something that I wish was not true. This is something that has changed in the past 3 years because I cannot find a way to consistently test and measure ads with the new responsive search ad system. There, I know there's pinning. I know you can pin ads. You can still create expanded text ads and test those and stuff like that. But in reality, I don't find that those are as impactful. They do not seem to get as much search volume. They do not seem to get as many impressions. And in the end, I usually end up just pushing something 15 headlines, 4 descriptions, and letting Google figure out the click-through rate and all that kind of stuff. When I say no ad testing, what I mean is I'm not creating multiple ads and then doing A/B testing between all of that. That is not something I do. I don't do it. And people say that's controversial because you should always be testing ads. But in reality, Google has really pulled us away from ad testing. They've been very forceful about that. They have come up with the ad strength system, which is very clear. They do not want you creating systematic, non-diverse ads that, you know, don't have a, you know, a large percentage of different variations and synonyms for different ways of saying the same thing. They don't want you to do that. They push back a lot against it. So very rarely do I do ad testing. It's just not something that I find is possible to even validate how one ad is performing versus another. How do you look at the CTR when Google doesn't show us exact CTR data anymore? That one is number 4. I know it may not make much sense to you, but that's why it's a controversial opinion. And number 5, my most controversial opinion, no keyword research. This one may shock you. You may think, no keyword research, what does that mean? Well, if you've listened to the show long enough, you probably know what I'm getting at here, but my whole point of keyword research, years ago, 10 years ago, I used to do hours of keyword research where I built these highly complex campaigns that would be just a beauty, just multiple campaigns, just 10, 20, 30 ad groups, just with, you know, every time I built something, I'd have every city in there with ad copy for each city. This required spreadsheets. This required sometimes software, keyword building systems that would put hundreds and hundreds of keywords together. That is not true anymore. People say that's controversial because they say, well, how do you know if you're getting the traffic that you need, that you've covered all your bases, that you are where you need to be? How do you know you're not missing an entire area of your traffic? Well, the reason is because Google has changed the definition of a keyword. Why would I need to do keyword research and pick this very specific keyword and then only for Google to just take massive liberties with that keyword? I choose a very specific 3-4 word keyword and Google takes massive liberties and does a close variant match that largely does not even resemble the original keyword. So instead, I've leaned into this close variant match type of system, and I have to let the system find the traffic, and then I measure the results upon that. I choose a specific wide array of keywords based on a very limited amount of testing and trying some, you know, little bit. I mean, I wouldn't say that I do absolutely no keyword research. I don't just throw in 3 ideas and just go. But it's not keyword research like you think. There's no software involved. There's no spreadsheets. There's no sitting down with a cup of coffee and spending 3 hours reading blogs and looking up keyword search trends and logging into $1,000 tools that give me 1,000 keywords to build out from. No. Very systematic approach with a small frame designed to grow and improve because the definition of a keyword is no longer what it used to be. A keyword is no longer a keyword. A keyword is now a topic, an idea. It's a starting point for Google. They don't respect my keywords anymore, so I don't use keyword research. because it doesn't provide the results that I want. So there we go. I hope that was valuable for you. If you like the podcast, you probably will really like me, and I can help you on your Google Ads account. You can reach me at chrisschafer.com. The link is in the description. I offer management services, consulting services, and if not, don't want to reach out, that's fine. That is not a requirement. I just do ask that you leave a review, give me a thumbs up, whatever it is that you can do, however you're listening, watching, leave a little bit of love wherever you're watching, and I appreciate you guys being here. I'll catch you.